Amen. You may be seated. We welcome you to our worship service. We're grateful that you are here, and just no real change in announcements. Any announcements from anyone? Let's move into prayer requests. We do have some prayer requests. We want to continue to keep Andy Benke in our prayers. We have one that can speak for him. How is Andy coming along?
He's doing really well.
Let's continue to keep Andy in our prayers. We also want to keep Gwen in our prayers, and keep Patty in our prayers as well. Also, Everett has COVID, so the Everetts are not here today because of that. So just pray that Brandon and Barry don't get it. Her symptoms are quite mild, but let's keep her in prayer. Also, I got a call from Glenn Harvey this morning. Ruth's machine is still acting up. She didn't sleep through the night. So a couple technicians are coming up from Duke this morning to try to get that corrected. So let's just keep Glenn and Ruth Harvey in our prayers. Other items for prayer that anyone would like to share?
I just want everybody to keep Cheryl Harris in their prayers. She had a 4 teeth extracted Saturday. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of pain, and then she has a plate she's trying to get used to using, so she could really use your prayers.
Hey, let's keep Cheryl in our prayers for some recent significant dental work and the pain she's in. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Can I get the operation, please?
Okay. Right under the Harveys, and circle that. That's the way I do it. And keep her in prayer as well. Any others? Yes, sir.
Can you keep his brother Ned in prayer? We don't really have any updates, but he certainly needs our prayers.
Let's keep Ned in prayer. Any others?
Lisa's allergies are bad.
Who?
Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. Let's keep Lisa Dibble's allergies in our prayers. We have several that are traveling, so let's keep all those that are traveling in our prayers. And anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for your presence. You are not only the God of the universe, you are our cup and our portion. You are truly the most indispensable aspect of our lives. You're not an added luxury or optional part that we can pick and choose. But the truth of the matter is that the living of these days remind us that we must stay in the shadow of the Almighty, for that is our shelter and it's our strength. We know your word, and we know from experience that we will be okay, but it's your presence, it's your spirit, it's your word that ministers to our soul and our mind as we're going through those difficulties, that we keep our focus, we keep our peace, and we keep our joy, for they're all lodged in you being with us. So we come into your presence today grateful that you receive us through Christ, and we cast our cares upon you. The many cares we have that we walk with so frequently that it just seems to go unspoken, though it's always there. And the ones that have been mentioned today for your acute attention, we pray that you continue to be with Andy as he's recovering. We pray that his pain will continue to be kept at a minimum. His mobility will continue to improve. Pray that you would be with Glenn and Ruth and Kay and Bob. We pray that you would be with Lisa be with Gail, may the symptoms stay low, and may Brandon and Barry be exempt. We pray that you'd be with Cheryl as she's dealing with the pain from her dental work. And we pray that you'll be with Ned, continue to give wisdom and encourage him. We pray that you'd be with Gwen and Patty. We pray for the one or the situation that comes to mind at this time. And all these things, we're grateful to know that we are heard and we are cared for and we are kept in your strong and loving hands. We praise and worship you alone today. In your holy name, amen. If you'll look with me to the beginning. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. You'll look with me to the interior. As you remember, last week we started Psalm 34. This week we'll read verses 12 to 22. Before we stand and sing that wonderful hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. Who among you loves life and desires long life to enjoy prosperity? Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to root out the remembrance of them from the earth.
The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them, and delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and will save those whose spirits are crushed.
Many of us are troubles of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them.
He will keep them safe, all his bones, not one of them, shall be broken. The Lord ransoms the life of his servants, and none will be punished who trust in him.
First reading is Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 2a and 14 to 18. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter 6, verses 51 through 69. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said this, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that has become evident to me, and probably been evident to you for some time, and that is I've gained an incredible amount of weight. And some of you have pointed out to me, called me fat boy and other things, and that wouldn't bother me, except the belt every morning confirms the teasing, and so I've finally gotten serious. So this past week, I spent some time looking at healthy eating. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the details of what I have found, but it reminded me of what the epistle said. It said that bodily exercise benefits some, but spiritual exercise benefits us for life. And the two things that I came away with as I looked at all sorts of diets and plans is, and I thought, that is directly applicable to the Christian life and to our text of Psalm 34. They said, first of all, don't starve yourself, which won't be a problem for me, but don't starve yourself, and then secondly, don't eat empty calories. Well, I had to sort of research what empty calories were. And once I realized, I thought, no wonder the church in the West has grown over the last 75 years so weak, so really irrelevant. No wonder people have walked away from it. Or doesn't provide the nourishment for we do starve ourselves, and sometimes when we eat empty calories. Calories that taste good to the tongue, but do very little to strengthen the body. So I got to thinking, what is the antidote to that? And I was prompted in this with the question that someone I met, a new fellow this week that is not a churchgoer and new to me, I haven't really known him, and when he found out that I was a pastor, he said, "I don't really know. What's your job?" Well, I, thought about that. And then it hit me as I was studying for this sermon. My job and the church's job, and I'm going to suggest by the end of our time together, our only job and your job is succinctly put in verse 11 of Psalm 34. We've been reading through, if you've paid attention, I know you have, the last three Psalter readings have been from this wonderful psalm of Psalm 34. Let me set the stage. This psalm was written when David was going through a terrible time in his life. David knew all sorts of troubles in life. Domestic situations and king out to try to destroy him. His son wanting to take his reign. Sons and daughters and doing just heinous things to each other. And in this particular psalm, though, David is before a king, and it's making him crazy. So he leans into it, and he acts crazy. And this is a perfect psalm for times in life when, as modern psychologists would call them, there's a lot of crazy-making going around. You may know some people that just try to stir up crazy. And you may know some people that are quite effective in stirring up crazy. And you can know situations. You turn on the TV news and all you see is craziness. We live in a crazy world. So this is probably a very necessary psalm. And I would suggest that my job, the church's job, is found in verse 11. I'm simply just going to point out the four phrases of verse 11. Come on, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come on, children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's interesting that the first part is my job is to call us to come together, to assemble, and we come. We come to hear, we come to receive. We come like Peter confessed, I don't know what in the world is going on, Lord. What in the world? Am I the only one that heard that?
No.
Oh, good. You couldn't have been fun and said, yeah, no. But we come to hear, just like Peter said, Lord, where would we go? And my job, our job, and your reminder for yourself is don't try to go anywhere else in the midst of all this insanity. For Peter is right. Where would we go? No other place we could go. And there are a lot of opportunities, there are a lot of voices, there are a lot of advertisements in society that says, come here, do that, take this, do this, and your life will be better. But Peter was right. We come here because we have nowhere else to go. It's tough being a Christian. But there's nowhere else. So we come here because this is where the word and sacraments are found. But we come, as the psalmist says here, not coming as strangers. We're coming as children. You are birthed by the Father through Jesus Christ, and you can't lose that. No matter how difficult and crazy life may get, you are children of God. You should hear that every day. I was talking to someone last evening who was going on and on about, I shouldn't be here because no one thinks that I should. And my message was, don't listen to anyone else except what God would say. And God would say, and you need to remind yourself throughout the day, that you are children of God. You are loved children of God. And just like good parents take care of their children, our Father takes care of us. So we come, O children, to our Father. And then the second thing is, listen to me. The word here for listen, you know it, is Shema. We hear it in Deuteronomy 6. Hear. It's to come and to get a different way of thinking about life. Get a different way of thinking about life. You know, the truth of the matter is, if we're just blunt, no matter what you're going through, or what anyone in your family's going through, or what we're going through as a country or in the world, we're going to be all right, aren't we? You've come through everything else you've come through, haven't you? Have any of you faced anything in the past that you weren't able to get through? Well, of course not, because you wouldn't be sitting here if that was the case. We're going to get through it. The reason we come and hear the word of the Lord is so that while we're going through it, we won't let the evil one destroy our peace. We go to that story in the Gospels when their ship was caught in a terrible storm. Jesus knew they were going to go through it. Jesus knew because he had promised they were going to get to the other side. Jesus knew that they weren't going to sink, so what did that give Jesus the freedom to do? Take a nap. Take a nap. And we know, for we know our own experience, and that God has been 100% faithful in every situation we've gone through. We know because we read it in the pages of Scripture. We know because we hear it from others and give testimonies of the way God works. We know we're going to be all right. We just need to come and hear. Listen to not just the preacher, but listen to each other as we remind and encourage and quote Scripture and give words of encouragement. And we get different thoughts in our mind. The church provides what therapists and bartenders can't. For they come and they might listen, but they're just going to listen to me complain about how bad the situation is. And they may even agree with me. Yeah, it is a bad, you know, it is tough. Doom, despair, and agony on me. But we come to church not to so much speak what's in our mind, but to hear the word of the Lord that gives us different thinking, gives us the mind of Christ, gives us the hope and courage that all is well. I will teach. I will teach over and over. The word there for teach literally means to beat with a rod. To teach means to beat with a rod. And the image here is that you want to teach in a way that you create a rut. You create a rut. And this is why the church has sort of lost its bearing when we think that every time we hear a sermon, it has to be new and creative. If I'm walking a different path every time I cross a field, I'm never going to create a rut, am I? If I'm coming up with something new every time, I'm not ever going to make enough impact to make an indelible mark in that field. But teaching is to do the same message over and over and over, to repeat it over and over, so a rut forms in our mind. And unlike some that would tell you, ruts are really good things. Ruts are really good things. You just need to make sure you're in the right rut. Because if you're in the right rut, you can sort of relax like tracks on a train. And you notice if you're in the right rut, you just put it on coast. You don't have to recreate it. And the thing about teaching, that's why we do the same thing over and over and over again, to remind us that the Lord is good. The Lord is good, and we won't fall out of that rut into that stinking thinking, that evil influence that makes us run amok. We stay in the rut. And tells us what that rut should be. You fear the Lord. Now, the word here for fear the Lord doesn't mean be afraid, because there are passages like in Exodus 20 where the law was given, where the angel will come and say, do not be afraid, just fear the Lord. This fear of the Lord is not being fearful. This fear of the Lord is living in a sense of deep appreciation, of gratitude for all the things that God has done heretofore. And because you're hearing it all the time, you're encouraging one another, we're staying in this rut that God has this. And we just need to keep returning to this rut. If you don't like the image of rut, let me give you one that probably is a lot better. Because it comes from afar. I would love to have had him as a pastor. He's passed away. He was a Presbyterian pastor in Bel Air, Maryland for many, many years, and became a professor of theology. He's written wonderful books, and he also did a paraphrase that's helpful to look at. His name was Eugene Peterson, and just a sensitive pastor and someone that's blessed me. And in a book he wrote back in 97 called Subversive Spirituality. And it isn't so much, it's only subversive in our society, which tells you you need to go out and find some new formula to make it all work. He said, no, just go back to what's proven to be true. And he calls it, you simply need to go back to square one. Don't outthink those leaders throughout the history of the church, those authors of Scripture who created square one. Stay in the box if God ordained the box. And he tells you what square one is. And I'd like to read as we sort of wrap this up. And this is so powerful. I'll give you a copy if you'd like later. I'm quoting from Peterson. I want to simplify your lives. When others are telling you to read more, I want to tell you to read less. When others are telling you to do more, to accomplish more, I want to tell you to do less. The world does not need more of you. It needs more of God. Your friends do not need more of you. They need more of God. And you don't need more of you. You need more of God. The Christian life consists in what God does for us, not what we can do for God. The Christian life consists in what God says to us, not what we say about God. We begin from God and God's Word. It is necessary to return to square one and adore God and listen to God. We must do a daily reorientation to this truth revealed in Jesus. We need to return to square one for a fresh start, as often as every morning, noon, and night. We just return back. Because the truth of the matter is, as we see here, our hope is not out there. Our hope is not in our family members and friends behaving like we would like them to. Our hope is not in the right candidates getting elected. Our hope is not in what the economy is going to do or not do. The hope is not in me improving and becoming more successful. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. And that hope is nothing more than His presence. But we need to do this daily. And that's what I told this fellow. Basically, I said, when he asked, what do I do? I said, I just tell people that God loves them. and His word is true, and He's faithful. Sometimes I do it behind the pulpit. Sometimes I do it in a hospital room. Sometimes I do it at a restaurant. Sometimes I do it just, that's all we do. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, that's all we need to do. And you need to become very active preachers. And the most active sermons you need to give, morning, noon, and night, are to yourself. That God is good. That He has come to be present. And He's not only present now. We know from that wonderful Psalm, verse 6 of chapter 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the presence of God in Christ for all eternity. I'll make a deal. I'll keep reminding you to do that on Sundays, and you keep reminding yourselves every day, morning, noon, and night, that God loves you, His word is true, and He will always be faithful to you. Amen? Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died in the air. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of great and steadfast love, we thank and praise you because you open your life that we may abide in you. You called Abraham and made your home in the midst of the people whom you had chosen, a great people, so numerous they could not be numbered or counted. In Jesus, Son of David, you walked before us in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart. You crowned him king and ushered in a reign that has no end. And in your grace, you invite us to gather around his heavenly throne, joining all the company of heaven, singing your unending hymn of glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Ever-present God, through meals you show your people your faithfulness in the wilderness, your persistence in time of famine, and your will to be our companion forever. Your Son shared a meal the night before he died for our salvation, and on the day he rose for our redemption. Send now your Holy Spirit on your people, that those who eat the flesh of your blood and drink of your Son and drink his blood may have eternal life. Sanctify this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he blessed the cup and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
steadfast God, you offered your servant Solomon any gift he needed to take up the mantle of leading your people. When he chose an understanding mind, able to discern between good and evil, you gave him also those things for which he had not asked. You bestow on us so much more than we desire or deserve. Send you upon your people the gift of wisdom, that your children may know the paths that lead to peace. Your church may be renewed in the ways of gentleness, and your kingdom may come near in grace and truth. Build up rulers and leaders in the virtues of discernment and mercy. Show your face to those who ache for your overturning day of reversal, and hasten the coming of your just and righteous reign. Triune God, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I camped on verse 11. And verse 18 further speaks of what that life of being in square one, what that gratefulness for the fear of the Lord is in verse 18. And that beautiful statement where it says, the Lord draws near to the brokenhearted. We don't have to come near to God. We can't run away like the prodigal did forever. But the promise of Scripture is not that we have to come to God. The promise of Scripture is He comes to us. He comes to us in our pit. He comes to us in the presence of our enemies. He comes to us in the gift of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. So we come and receive, but our hope is in coming and receiving. We receive the one who's always promised to come and to draw near to the brokenhearted. This is our Passover lamb. This is the table of the Lord. And I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come, to receive, and to be strengthened. The feast is prepared. Let us keep the feast.
Gracious Lord, we thank you for your words. We hear them. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, may they reverberate, constantly ringing in our hearts and our souls in the living of these days. May they be our focus. May your presence be our surety. And may your faithfulness be our resting ground. We thank you for your love. Keep us close to you. We'll give you all the praise and glory through your Son's holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing hymn 6, How Great Thou Art. to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the throne. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.